Fisher, Straight Gate Ministries and Teaching Bible. .org, as well as St. Timothy Church. And I am blessed to be here with you today and thank God for your presence. Amen. Glad you've decided to tune in to our live broadcast. And we'd like to just bless God, go before the Lord, and give him some thanks and some praise for letting us be here. Amen. Got some good things to talk about today. We started up on this on last Lord's Day. And, of course, we promised we'd get back today and kind of take it on another level deeper. So in the meantime, let's go ahead right now and rejoice in the Lord, thank him and give him praise. Amen. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we want to praise you right now. Father, we exalt your name. We lift you up, Father. We hallow you above every name, for your name is excellent and most excellent in all the heavens and all the earth. There is none like you, Father, so we want to thank you right now. We want to give you praise right now, Lord God. We want to glorify your name right now, Father, because you are excellent and worthy of all praise. Without you, we can't do anything. And so, Lord God, teach us to lean on you, to depend on you, Lord God, for everything. Even though we know you provide for the just as well as the unjust, we want to just thank you, Lord God, for calling us out of our darkness into your marvelous light, Father, because without you, we can't do anything. And, Father, we don't want to do anything without you. We just want to praise you right now, Lord. We want to bless your holy name, Father. We want to thank you for all the things you have sent into our lives. You said in your word that every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So, Father, we know you are awesome, and we want to bless your name and give you praise right now, because there's none like you, oh God, anywhere in the universe, Lord God. You are the one and only, Lord God, and so we want to praise you, bless you, and thank you for all that you do for us, Father. We come asking for the forgiveness of sin. Oh, God, we ask you to bless us, cleanse us, pour out more mercy upon us. Lord God, as you have said in your word, that you are rich and plenteous in mercy. And, Father, help us so that we don't need so much mercy all the time. Father, we want to be better citizens and better members of the church and better members of the human family, Lord God. We ask you to help us, oh, God, with the weaknesses that we experience and sometimes cause us to go into sin, Father, when we know it. Sometimes we transgress against your word, even though we know it's not right. And so, Father, we confess our transgressions and we confess our sins. Father, we even confess our ignorance. Sometimes we don't know and we stumble into some things. But we just thank you that in your word you have covered us on every side, Lord God, from every unrighteous thing. And so, Father, we want to thank you for Jesus because we realize that it is his blood and his willingness to sacrifice his own life for our sin that makes it possible for you to be so gracious and so merciful toward us. And so, Father, we lift up those who are weak. Some of us, Father, have some terrible track records, and we still have some vestiges we're holding on to, old things from our life and from our past. But, Father, we know you can break those evil chains and free us. And, Lord God, we ask that you do it right now. Somebody's calling on your name right now, Lord, that needs deliverance from an old situation, Lord God, that's been in their life far too long, Lord, and they don't even know what to do with it. But we know we can ask you for more understanding. You said in James that if any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally to all and upbraideth not. In other words, you don't hold that evil way that we are against us. And you said we can come boldly before the throne of grace, and there we can find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. And so, Father, we come rushing into the throne room only by the blood of your Son to ask you to break some old chains, Lord God. Break away some old behavior. Help us to be able to focus on the light that's in the distance, oh God, that is drawing us closer to righteousness, God, and help us to turn away the darkness from our past. Break away those chains of sin, Lord God, and free us into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So we have yet another thing to give you praise for, Lord, because without you we can't do anything. And, Father, we've only come this far by faith, leaning on you and depending on you. And so, Father, we want to take this another level further. Father, we ask you to help somebody that's praying with me right now, Lord, obtain deliverance that they could never achieve without you. But, Father, with you we can do all things. We read it in your word. And so, Father, help us to be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Father, bless a home today. Bless a family today. Fill a need today, Father. Give us generosity today, Lord, that we might look at others who don't have as much as you blessed us with, oh God, and be willing to help and fill a need. Lord, help us to be your hands and your feet, your eyes, oh God, and your heart, Lord God, towards somebody that needs a special blessing. And Father, we'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Father, we thank you for equipping us for such a time as this, Father, to make us men and women of grace that we might be able to share that with other people. So, Father, today, right now, we ask you, cover our minds, bless us, open up our spiritual thought process that we might be able to render some understanding from the Word, Lord God, at this particular time. And we know we cannot do that without your Holy Spirit. So, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the blood of the covenant that was shed by Jesus once and for all for the sins of whosoever believes in him. And we pray you give somebody that revelation this evening that they may say, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And we ask this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless your word as it goes forth. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart that they will be acceptable in your sight. For you are our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Because he is worthy of all of our praise. And we just thank him for this time that we have here together to study his word. Amen. It is a blessing to be in the word of God. And we're just thankful that he lets us go on another little while longer. Amen. It is such a blessing to be in his word. So I want to go ahead now. Some of you were with me. And you know, we started talking about cultivating the attitude of thankfulness back sometime back. In fact, Sunday, this past Lord's Day. So we want to get back on that same train of thought today, because I was not able to really digest everything and put it all out there. And so we said we'd come back to it today. And so I want to get back on this today. Now, I want to say this, too, while I have your attention here at the beginning of our broadcast. I would like to hear from some of you. Just let us know. Go on to our podcast at anchor.fm, or you can get on teachingbible.org. Click on the anchor button over there. We got a little anchor icon. It will take you over to the podcast. And when you're in the podcast, click on messages and leave us a message with your own voice, or however you want to do it. You can type it in, or I think you can speak into it, and it'll have actually your voice. And what I want to do, I want to get some of your feedback. I want to hear if the Lord blessed you through the broadcast, or if there's a question you have about any of the content of the message, or if there's something you would like discussed on the program so that we can cater to you a little bit better. So we'd like to get some interaction from you. And when I do that, I'm going to also paste some of those into some of the messages so you may hear yourself on the air on the Anchor podcast. And so we'd like to do that in order to interact with you, because we're not a one-way ministry. We're not just putting out information. We want to know from you how God is blessing you, what's going on in your life, some of the things that you would like to be addressed here, because there's a lot of controversial things going on in the world, and we want to jump right in and kind of help you with that. Or if you've heard something on the broadcast that has blessed you or helped you get past a situation, a scenario, or somehow God has spoken to your spirit, and maybe you got saved. Who knows what the case may be, why you may want to communicate with us. But please do that. And we like to factor that in. And even if it's just for our own purposes, so we can know how effective our ministry is being to you, we would like to hear from you. And so we thank God for you right now. And you can catch us, as I mentioned, teachingbible.org. Or you can get us at anchor.fm. And that will be /Landis-Fisher. Or you can just go right to our website. We have a link there. And so we're going to get back into this concept here that we were talking with you about on Sunday, on Lord's Day, cultivating the attitude of thankfulness. Now, we have said already a few things that I think are worthy to review. We have said that thankfulness is not a natural thing. It's something you have to learn, because it's not easy for us to be thankful. We have a tendency to be selfish. Truth be told. Now, some of y'all will say, well, don't say that about me. I'm not selfish. But the fact is, when it comes down to this kind of thing, the way God wants us to be, and we have to clarify that because of the command that he gave that we were discussing during this lesson in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul says, in everything, give thanks. for this is the will of God concerning you. So that's the part where we have the trouble, is in everything. Because some stuff we get that's going on, it's not easy for you to say thank you, and you had a horrible thing happen in your life, for example. Or if there's something you really want, that you really desire, that you didn't get, and you've worked hard, and you think, well, why can't I have it, and so-and-so has it, or such-and-such has it. And maybe God is waiting on us to cultivate that attitude of thankfulness. And so God knows what you need, and so otherwise he would never give a command that says, in everything, give thanks. And so that's where we have the problem. It's not so much that we don't thank God for the good things he's done all the time. And maybe you do, maybe you don't. If you don't, this is what the lesson is for, is to teach us to have an attitude, to cultivate the attitude of thankfulness. Sometimes when a bad thing happens, it's very difficult for you and I have to say, thank you, Lord, for a bad situation. Although we endured it, God took us through it, whatever it was. And somebody said, if he brings you to it, he can take you through it. If it didn't take me out, I want to say, thank you, God, whatever it was. And so we have to learn to do that. And in the process of doing that, we become more Christ-like. Now, one thing occurred to me as I thought about this, and the reason why he says in everything, is that we have to think about this. Our model for what we're doing is really Jesus. Jesus is the model that God has set forth for you and I to understand what he means. And when he says so many of the things, in fact, everything in the New Testament is really, and I mentioned this in a previous message, which I posted on teachingbible.org. You can go check it out if you haven't done it. And it was talking about the right to righteousness. And this was actually a message from 2003. And I have put that on the podcast, and it's also on the website. So if you didn't catch it, take a little time anytime this week and catch it. So this is the revelation, and it's I thought about it because of this. The fact is, God revealed to me, and he'll reveal it to you. It's not that he does things for me that he wouldn't do for you. That doesn't happen. But the fact is, anything he's done for another, he will do it for you. That's the beautiful thing about God. And what I observed in my study is that when we look at the New Testament, the way it is written from the book of Matthew, clear on through to Revelation, we learn about the character of Jesus Christ. And it's written out in words that you and I can understand. And what we're doing is gradually adjusting from however we were when we got saved. And God doesn't really makes him no difference how you were. You could have been anything. You could have been doing anything. And if you're today, right now, you're hearing my voice and you say, well, I'm a drug pusher. I'm a whatever. Now, prostitute, whatever you want to name, doesn't make a difference. God will take you from where you are and he'll take you to Christ likeness. That's the path of the Christian journey, is to go from however we are before we get saved to Christ likeness. And the path to it is through God's word, is through the example of Christ and those who were his followers, which will be called the apostles or the disciples. It's through the writings of the New Testament, and above all, it's through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you from wherever you are. The scripture says that he will reveal Christ to us, and that he is the one who leads and guides us to all truth. He's the one that gives us understanding of God's word. He's the one that convicts us of sin. He's the one who convicts us of righteousness. When things are done right, we get an internal blessing from the Holy Spirit. So we know it's right because we get the confirmation from God, the Holy Spirit, that that was a good thing you did, and he reinforces the good behavior. He also rebukes us for bad behavior, or he'll show us things in the word that we couldn't otherwise understand. And so he is the one that's in there. He's on online, he's right there in your spirit, taking you from point A to point B, and he keeps you moving in a pattern as he reveals to you Christ. And Christ is the object of everything. He called him the focal point of salvation, because you and I are adjusting from being however we are, however we were when we got saved, to being more like Christ. And so the pattern for that is found in the scripture. And you could say this, and this is what was revealed to me as I studied it, that the content of the New Testament and the Old Testament, see, in the Old Testament, we would say the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, but the Old Testament was the New Testament concealed. All of it is about Christ from Genesis clear through to Revelation, but you and I learn more about it. And God at one point uncovered it so that it would be point blank plain to anyone who believes. And so the good news is that we get adjusted by faith in Jesus Christ to being a believer. And when we believe, God begins to educate us. That's why being a disciple is a critical thing. A disciple simply means a learner. Some people think a disciple means a lot more than that. But there are all kinds of people who have disciples. A disciple is a learner. The Greek word mathetes means a learner. So you and I are learners. We are learning, and good churches or teachers, they're teaching you what God says in His Word and helping you wrap your mind around it and get it into your life so you can execute the things that God has said. And so primarily that's what we're doing. We're teaching you the Scriptures, because it is the Scriptures, Jesus said, to show you the path to life. It's the Scriptures that rebuke us for our sin. It's the Scriptures that comforts us as we repent and turn toward God and start to do things more in a Christ-like way. And so what you'll find, and I just wanted to give you a nutshell statement on this today, in order to be thankful, we would have to look at Christ, who is the model. And if we think about everything Jesus went through during that first Advent, from the time that He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, clear on up to the time that He was crucified on the cross, He lived a life of complete thankfulness. And so it's very difficult when we think about what He did. The Scripture says, for the joy, this is Hebrews chapter 12, that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Think about that. Despising the shame. That was a shameful, scandalous thing to happen to God's Son, the only perfect, holy, spotless, without a blemish person that's ever lived on this earth, who fully satisfied God from the moment of His conception. He actually satisfied Him from eternity past. But let's say from the time of His incarnation, which He was born in the flesh, He satisfied God from that time clear on till He was hanging there between heaven and earth as the only mediator between God and men, God in the flesh, God the Son. He was 100% God, but He was also 100% man. And the part that's really mind-blowing, we're not so blown away when we say, oh yeah, He was God, and that's why He could do it. But the fact was, He was in a human body. So He had the full human nature of, just like you and I, having been born in a womb, conceived in a womb, coming out of a sack of waters after 9 months, having His umbilical cord cut, all the same stuff you and I went through in order to be in the human family. He went through that as well. So we talked about that a couple of lessons back, the human element of the humanity of Christ. Although He existed before eternity, all the way in eternity with God the Father. That's what it said in the Philippians 2 passage, where it says, or let this mind be in you, Philippians 2:5, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, He didn't cling to that equality, but He humbled Himself and took upon Him the form of a servant. So that's talking about His incarnation and His humanity. He didn't stay face to face equal with God in the spirit and in the fullness of Almighty God, which He was absolutely equal with the Father. He humbled Himself. Think about that. How big of a jump is it to come from being Almighty God to confining yourself to the womb of a virgin for 9 months? Think about that. Let that soak in a little. But that's what we celebrate this time of year coming up. Now, you know what? It's been put so far on the back burner that it becomes Christmas card kind of stuff. Well, there's the baby Jesus, and we don't think much about it. But I want you to ponder the depths of what God the Son was doing. He was coming out of eternity to become flesh for a space of 33 and a half years in order to show me and you what perfect humanity looks like. How does perfect humanity look? How does a perfect human being look? You know what? We don't have any other examples. You know why? Because everybody else down here is defective. We're full of sin. We have controversy. We get pride. We've got all kinds of issues. See? And the fact is, Jesus had none of those issues. And so what God did was He dictated exactly how that is and how the perfect man would be through the voices of the apostles and those who are the writers of the New Testament. And what they did was went back here in the Old Testament and revealed the reality of Christ in the flesh. So there is no absence of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, in the Old Testament. It's full of it all the way through from the very mention of sin in Genesis chapter 3. And on through, there's pictures of Christ throughout the Old Testament that were kind of cloaked or concealed within those texts. But the reality is that God has set a time when He would send His Son into the world. And this is the time of year that we think about that a little bit more as a general. Let's just say in general as a people, we think more about it at this time of year because we have the holiday season coming up. And so we decided somehow along the way that men would put Thanksgiving there. But then in all of the stuff that goes on in the world, all the commercialism and all the politics and all the other kind of stuff has kind of contaminated that whole thing. Capitalists have taken over it. And they want to turn it into a means of creating money for themselves and selling items and goods and all that. And the reality of it gets kind of pushed out of the middle of everything. And so that's what this series was for. That's why I started it back months, about a month or so ago, to get you into the flow of thinking right, especially this year. Now, let me stop there and put a pin. This has been the oddest year in my life. And I know some of you are older than me. Some of you are younger than me. But I have never been through anything like this 2020. It's a very, very strange year. And so I think we need some special revelation from God during this time, because a lot of things are way different than it used to be. And I don't think we can just do business as usual going on through into the holidays, because it's a critical time. And people who are paying attention understand that maybe God is doing something here, allowing this thing. And so we better be cautious about what we do. We don't want to go to business as usual and find ourselves in trouble. And so I think we need to pay careful attention to what God says in his word, because this is odd. This is an odd time. And not only that, but you know what? I think it could be some intention, and I'm not trying to say God said this or that this is really the fact, but I just have to notice it. And with my own experience, I would say I want to be very careful how I go through this next season with all the kind of predictions that are in the news. And I'm not fearful of anything, because if God takes me home, I'm out of here and I'm good. So I hope you feel like that too. If you know Christ is your Savior, you can feel that way. You can know that if this is my last day, I'm good. Or if I get another 100 years, I'm good. If I get 1,000, or if the rapture happens, I'm good. Whatever. You just have to know that you're good. That God loves you. He's given his son for you. And that death can't even hurt you. And so you have to know that. You really do. Get to the place where you understand that death has already been defeated. The grave is defeated. Sickness is defeated. Everything is defeated. Jesus did it by himself. So as you go through here, don't be fearful. Set your mind, the Bible says, on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died. If you really understand what the word says, it says you have died anyway in Christ. You know what? My old life is dead and I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. And so we have to get there. And if you're not there, I want you to pray about that today before we get done, because God loves you. He's given Christ, raised him out of the grave. So we do not have to be fearful, not even of death in the grave. And you don't hear a lot about that. The church wants to, oh, don't talk about that. Oh, that's a negative subject. Well, it's not a negative subject. It's the truth. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Indeed, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. So you should be free of that. That's what I want you to understand. God loves you. He's raised his son out of the grave, so you and I do not have to fear death in the grave. And so what's going on here? How is this year so weird, and what should we do? I think we want to tune our minds a little to listen to what thus saith the Lord. Listen to the word. Let God's word guide us, be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. He says also, trust in him with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So he's promised to give us guidance through even difficult and treacherous times. And he's called on me and you to be thankful. Now, that's where we are. And I think that kind of brings it all together, because we need to be thankful in all things. In order to do that, we need to have a security that comes from God, that God has taken care of everything we need. And we can trust him and give him praise in every season. And anything short of that, you're playing church. Simple as that. A lot of people playing church. We want to talk about the good side and the upside, not talk about the dark side. But, and there is a dark side, but it's not really dark at all if you know Jesus. If he's your Savior, you're good. You can say, I'm good no matter what happens, come what may. And so we were talking about, this is why you have to cultivate the attitude of thankfulness. Like the psalmist said here, he's going to tell us how to be in praise to God all the time. Psalms 100, we talked about this last week, in case you weren't here. Psalms 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. We say that's to the whole world, not just the Jews at the time this was written, and even today. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. See? So we should be so ensured that God has taken care of our deepest and most negative possible problems. I can praise you anyway, no matter what's up. That's what somebody wrote a song like that. I'll praise you for the good or the bad. See, I'm in you all the time, no matter what it takes. If you decide I can go through it, I'm going through it. No matter whether it's an uphill battle or a downhill battle, I'm going through. And I have that certainty in my soul that there is nothing. It is well with my soul, somebody wrote a song. See what I'm saying? So I know God's got me covered, and I do not have to fear. There's nothing for me to fear and except God. He's the only one I should fear. If you fear the Lord, everything else is off the table, because he is the only one you should fear. So the psalmist knows that. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. Think about that. The possession of God and the sheep of his pasture. So he's looking out for you. If you got the good shepherd on board, you know everything is good with you. You don't have to worry about it. It is well with my soul. We can say that and mean it. And so we don't have to worry about any bad predictions or bad politics or anything bad. You know why? Because the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. See what I mean? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And every time I need anything, he's got it. And if he don't have it, I don't need it. But you know what the fact is? He got everything. See, the earth is his and the fullness thereof, the psalmist says, the world and they who dwell in it. So there's nobody you have to check in that's higher than him, and you can always check in with him. You don't have to worry about other folk who try to deprive you of anything. You can trust God. Lean not to your own understanding. Do I understand how he works that? No, I don't. I don't need to. See, I don't need to understand it. I just need to believe it. I believe it, and I'm walking in it, and I'm teaching it so that others can believe it also. So the psalmist goes on to say, here, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. See, that means speak well of his name. That's what the word bless means. We sometimes don't understand that. I used to not understand it either. I go, well, and when I heard some elder women sometime praising the Lord, I go, why are they praising God? What's up with that? I didn't get it. You know, now that I'm this age and I've studied it long enough, he's worthy of praise. Don't make no difference what Wall Street is doing or the stock market or City Hall or the Kremlin or the White House. Makes no difference. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. And I'm going to praise him no matter what the situation is. And we got to get there. That's where we want to get, right there. And that's the place to be, is praising the Lord and being thankful for what he has done. Because he has done it. If he allowed me to come into it, he can take me through it. And that's where I'm at. So you got to lock in right there, no matter what this season is doing to me and you. So you enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. That's the bottom line. And his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures for all generations. You don't ever have to worry about this not being the case. And so cultivate that attitude. Don't let the darkness in the news and whatever you might hear, crime on the street, all that. Yeah, it's out there. And I pray for all of those who are going through it. But I'm going to give praise to the Lord. And I thank him for bringing me through. And even if he makes the decisions that are tough for me in my life, I thank him. And I give him praise. And that's where you got to get. Be steadfast and unmovable. Paul says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, and you may have to be like Job. Think about Job. He's one of the most extreme examples of this, I think, in the whole of Scripture, other than Jesus. Jesus, of course, was even more extreme than what Job went through. What Job went through was like a picnic compared to what Jesus went through. But the fact is, when you read Job, you find out the devil smote him of all kinds of things, and his life took away things that he had had, that he had acquired, that he worked hard for, that he loved. You know what he said? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the spirit you and I need to take us through 2020. Now, we can get through 2020 and we'll be smiling when the new year rolls in, because we know God is on the throne. He has not moved. He is very present help, as we said, Psalms 46. He is a very present help in the time of need or in the time of trouble. He's always there. See? So it's good to know that he is there. Somebody wrote a song about that. I'm not going to sing it for you, so I'll leave that out for right now. But it's a good thing to know that God is there no matter what we see going on, whether it's good or bad. But we have to cultivate this attitude. You know what? You can get depressed looking at the news. You can sit there and you can hear some stuff like, oh my goodness, you know, it'll take you into a deep state of mental depression. But the fact is, you got to get back to saints, because you know God loves you. He gave Jesus for you. He raised him out the grave. So no matter how dire the situation is, my son got up and declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He came off a throne equal with me and became a little baby born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod the king. He was raised up in Nazareth, which was a kind of out of the way place with a bad reputation. You know, we would call some of the places around, I'm not going to name anywhere because I don't want to offend anybody. But there's places where you're going, oh, that's on the other side of the tracks. We don't mess around over there. See, that's how Nazareth was viewed by the upper crust, if you will. But the fact is, Jesus came in a lowly manner and was raised in a lowly way by some common everyday people. And people didn't understand who he was. See, they misunderstood who he was. And he spoke the truth all the time. He went and opened the word and spoke the truth. He blew everybody's mind, even at the age of 12, it tells us in Luke. He was blowing the minds of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Boy, how could this kid here know all of this stuff and be so deep in the word? Well, that's because he was the living word. That's the reason why. But the fact is, you and I can get in the word. And we can know that he loves us. He was on a mission for his Father. He came in order to deliver me and you from the law of sin and death. Doesn't make any difference what you've done, what you're dealing with in your life. No matter how dark and miserable your life may be, Christ loves you. And he has made a way for you. And he said, whosoever, that includes you, believes in him will not perish. That means you will not come under the judgment of God. But you will have everlasting life. And so we need to understand that. And that's where our joy and our rejoicing comes from. So we have to cultivate that. Because you know what? The devil doesn't want you to believe anything I'm saying. He'd like you to say, hey, don't listen to that preacher. He doesn't know what he's saying. And I'm not telling you what I'm saying. I'm telling you what is written. And this is where you get your strength. God has given a good word, a perfect word, a spotless word, a complete word, a cleansing word, a strengthening word. His word is just great. And it has everything in it that you need for time and eternity. Somebody will tell you, well, you know, and this is part of the problem I see it. I'm just going to say it again. Let me step to the soapbox just a minute. Our culture said, we don't need the word. We threw it out. And now we want to know why we are whacked like we are, why we have this mess that we have. And the reason is we told God we don't need you. And we're not going to get better if we don't wake up. That's why the word says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, he said, will I hear from heaven. Y'all doing a lot of talking, but I'm not listening. Why? Because you have not humbled yourself. You have not turned from your wicked ways. You have not sought my face. See? And this is where our whole culture is as a people. We're whacked and messed up. Not all of us. Some of us understand what we're saying. But there's never been a time in history when God's people, he always has some people who no matter what everybody else is doing, they're looking in his word and they're trusting him and they understand where God's time clock is and they're praying on it and they're staying on the course the best they can. But they know that God has already given a sacrifice for you. And he has always provided that, and that will never cease. There will always be a believing remnant, even to the trumpet sounds. And so you need to learn, and I need to learn, and stay on that course of being in the remnant. I want to be the little piece that's left that understands that God is real and his word is true. And I can trust in him and delight myself in him, and he'll give me the desires of my heart. Think about that. He has a way to bring you through. Even, and I'm going to give you one more example, and then we'll get back to this text. The children of Israel were taken and persecuted for 430 years down in Egypt. And Abraham had been told the prophecy that your seed will go into a foreign land and there they'll be afflicted for 400 years. And then I will deliver them and bring them out with great substance. That's what he told him before he died. And so Abraham looked forward. He was able to take his feet up in his bed, breathe his last, and give up the ghost, knowing that the seed that I have, that God has given me, will go through all of this. And they'll come out with great substance. That's why the writer to the Hebrews said that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He knew already by faith that God will do everything he has promised. I don't have to worry about anything. Isaac is my son. He's given me. He will make it through. And it doesn't mean he'll live forever, but the seed will be passed through all the way on up to the seed that he promised me, who is really Jesus, God's son. See? And so Abraham knew that. He could see that. It says he never saw the true kingdom, but he welcomed it from afar off and knew that he was a pilgrim and a stranger up on the earth. So you and I sense that a little bit sometimes. when we see how stuff is going and how the minds of people are getting more and more twisted and more warped. And you wonder, how can governments and all of that get so twisted and get so warped? Well, the fact is, they've gotten off track. They're going another direction. But God already knew about it. And he always preserves a remnant through every kind of a situation. Kingdoms rise and they fall, and they rise and they fall, and they rise and they fall. And that's been going on from the beginning. But those who trust in the Lord don't have to worry. God takes them right on through, and they train up another generation to trust God and believe him. And that will never stop until the trumpet sounds. And so you and I can have that assurance that we will go through, so we need to be thankful. And use that to help cultivate an attitude of thankfulness toward God. Paul, once again, I'm going to go back to the text we talked about on last Lord's Day, was talking to the church at Colossae. He says, he's Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And he talks about Timothy, his brother. And he says here, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace be unto you. See, that's the way they used to greet each other. Grace be unto you. We all need grace. That's charis in the Greek. Grace be unto you. God says, grace to you. I got grace for you. Grace is the biggest thing that you and I have. And I love it. I'm going to say I love it because I don't need God's judgment, but I do love his grace. Even the psalmist knew, he said, even goodness and mercy are following behind me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell. He knew his destination in the house of the Lord forever. So you and I need to get on that wavelength. No matter what's going on, even if I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. That's the key to everything, to keep your mind on a thankful plane and a thankful attitude as you go through. So Paul's writing to the Colossians. He says, so we give thanks, verse 3, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. See, that's a prayer piece. That's a very big piece. Got to pray all the time because it's easy to get off on a tangent listening to the craziness around you and in the world. And maybe even close to you in your life, you may have some craziness going on right there in your own immediate family. Stay in prayer. Trust God. You know, a little knee mail will get you a lot farther than a whole lot of email. We talk about a lot of email. We need a little knee mail so we can talk to God about our situation. And he can give us a status of peace no matter what else we're dealing with. But he says, praying always for you. That means people like myself and pastors and other leaders in the church are always praying for the saints. I spend quite a bit of time. I go down in my mind a mental list praying for each person. Because I know you're all dealing with stuff. The ones I know, if I don't know you, write me and so I can get to know you and I'll put you on my list. be happy to do that. I pray for you generically, but I would like to pray for you specifically if I get to know who you are, what your needs are, the kind of things you're going through. And that's pastoral ministry, just to overlook God's people and pray for them along the way that they're going. And we have a lot of issues that come up that need prayer. So prayer is a key thing. Let me give you this right here. I think this is going to bless you. And it's being put in my spirit right at this moment. You know what? Anything you don't understand, anything that you read the word, you come up with a blank. I've done it too. I do it from time to time. I get in some passages going, man, I don't even get this. You know what you need to do? At the same piece I just mentioned to you, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. James 1:5, write it down. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally to all. See, God says, I'm going to give you wisdom if you ask. And he doesn't hold back anything. That's what that term in the old KJV says, and upbraid is not. That means I don't hold it against you that you are a sinner, you have trouble with sin in your life. I'm not going to hold it against you. You know why? I say, because I want you to ask me, and I'm going to give you wisdom to show you how to get over that situation. I'll give you wisdom to learn how to do anything you want to do. So there are no limits to what you can do if you get God involved in it. So if you lack wisdom, ask God. James 1:5, get that, read it, pray on it, memorize it. It may be your favorite verse. Sometimes people say, well, I love that one. You know, and if they do, good. He said, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all and upbraideth not. The old KJV says, let me give you another translation. He gives generously to all and holds back nothing. That's what he does. He will give generously to you wisdom if you ask, and it shall be given to you. He said, but this is the thing you need, and this is what we've been talking about here. Let him ask in faith without any doubting. Don't ask God and go, he may not do it. You know, now you went on to a negative train. If you don't think he'll do it, why should he do it? See, ask him in faith without any doubting or no wavering. Because anybody who doubts is like the surf of the sea, he said, driven and tossed by the wind. And let not that person think that they shall receive anything from God, being a double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways. See, God says, get out of the double-mindedness. No, I'm here. I haven't moved. I'm right here. Ain't going anywhere. I'm just as stable as the ground you're standing on, even more stable. Because the heavens and the earth will pass away, but my word, he said, will never pass away. So you can trust God. Get into the habit of asking God. When you don't understand, turn it over to God. Give it to God. Tell him, Lord, I read this. I read it 10 times. I still don't get it. Help me, Lord. And know that he will answer that prayer. That's how you're going to get somewhere. If you lack wisdom, he says, ask of God. And he gives liberally. That means I'm going to give you more than what you asked for. Remember when God asked Solomon, I'm just going to go here. It's not on my list. But Solomon, what do you want in the heavens or the earth? And just name something. You know, a lot of people would say, well, give me all the gold in Egypt or something. You know what I mean? Well, let me get all the diamonds in Africa. But Solomon didn't ask for that. You know what he asked for? He said, give me wisdom, Lord, so I can know how to lead your people properly. And God was impressed with the fact that this man asked for wisdom. He said, wow, you know what? Because Solomon knew something. If you got wisdom, that other stuff, that's easy. You can get all that you want. You can get all the gold, all the diamonds, all the money, all the stuff, whatever you want, if you want that. But you know what? Wisdom is the principal thing, it says in the Proverbs. So learn to ask God for wisdom. It's more precious than rubies, it says in one passage in the book of the Proverbs. More precious than fine, fine gold. And so the fact is, we can ask God for wisdom to make it through any situation. And God sends down every good and perfect gift. So that's just another one. Add that onto your list. And want you to understand, time slips by so quick. I'm just about done here. But let me go on through here with the Colossians passage. He says here, moving on, Colossians chapter 1, verse 4, since we heard of your faith, this is Paul writing to the Colossians, in Christ Jesus and the love which he have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Now, the gospel, we'll take just the last few minutes to talk about this. He says, we've been praying for you just like I pray for every member of the church. That's why I ask you, interact with me. If you're listening and you haven't done so, interact. Let me get to know you some so I can pray for you. Tell me what it is you like, the things you have learned about the ministry or through the ministry that have blessed your life. Tell me if there's something you don't like. I don't care. Give us some negative criticism if there's something you don't like. Let us know all that. Go on to anchor.fm/Landis Fisher. That'll be Landis-Fisher. And leave us a message there so we can interact with you. Or get me on Instagram or on Instant Messenger. Or send me a post on Facebook, whatever you want to do. I want to interact with you. But the fact is, we can help you a little further. St. Timothy Church has, we've actually moved to a new facility. We're not ready to do services there yet, but we're making preparations so we have more room to accommodate more people once all the madness settles down. And so we are there for that, but we are still here virtually, and we can connect with you and help you through some things that you might be dealing with in your understanding about the Word. And we would love to pray with you about anything that you happen to be going through. So we're going to go right ahead. I want to just read this last statement here. And I think we'll be good for this lesson. I wanted to take you a little deeper. And I do hope that God has stretched your faith just a little by the message that you've heard here today. So in conclusion, and I mentioned this is the most unusual year of our lives. Let us pray about becoming even more focused on cultivating the attitude of thankfulness, which can be measured by our responses to all the things of this life. See, God is looking at everything, every little thing, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, that we want to give glory to God for his immeasurable investment in us of his only begotten Son. God has invested his Son, Jesus the Christ. And think about this. It's always a two-way thing. And I want to close with this. God has invested his Son, but his Son also has invested his life. It's a two-way thing. Jesus could have said no if he didn't want to do it. He said, I could call legions of angels to just stop all of this, this cross business here of you spitting in my face and beating me and pummeling me with your fist and mocking me and saying, prophesy who hit you. They were slapping while he was blindfolded. He could have stopped it. But you know what? The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Think about how humiliating that would be in a public setting. This was like in a courtroom, or so to speak. It was kind of a kangaroo court. Pilate had already said, I don't find him guilty at all. He's done nothing amiss. The thief on the cross said, he's done nothing amiss. He had witnesses all around him who knew he was perfect. But he went through all of that in order to deliver a wretch like this from his sin. And he will do that for you. If you trust him and believe him, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He endured the cross. He went through all of that. And it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He did that for you in order that he might bring many sons and daughters to glory. He wants you to be glorified with him. See, and if you just believe him, the gospel is that simple. Whosoever believes in the name of the Son of God shall not be put to shame. If you trust in your heart and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And he knows we have a predicament and we can't do right without him. Without him, we can't do anything, John 15 says. But if you trust in him and believe him, know this, he has done everything and he will make your account clean with God. And that's the only way it can be made clean. There is no other way. So don't let the devil fool you. Don't let the false religions of the world fool you. Don't let any politics or any of that fool you. One way to be saved, God has given his son for you. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me right now. Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, Father, we repent of our sin. Father, we turn to you right now. We ask you to save us, Lord God. Take us up out of the normalcy of everyday life, oh God. Take us out of our sin, Lord God. Cover us with the blood that your son shed on the cross, that he died there and shed that blood for me in order to make me clean and to keep me clean throughout all my life. Bless me right now, Father, with understanding. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lead me and guide me to all truth. Open up your word, oh God, so that I can see marvelous things in your word, Lord God, and be able to do it. Bless every family and every home that's praying with me right now, Lord God. And bless all those who are hearing your message, the good news of the gospel. Let them know that you raised Jesus out the grave. So even death and hell have been swallowed up in victory. And that by him we are all saved, and we can know that we're saved from the guttermost even to the uttermost. And we give all the praise, the honor, and the glory to you through your Son, Jesus, the Savior of all men. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody say together, amen. Trust God. And we hope you've gotten a good word from the message today. Look to hear from you soon. Once again, Pastor Landis Fisher, St. Timothy Church, and Straight Gate Ministries. Be looking forward to hearing from you soon. God bless you.